I'd like to call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will now take a moment. Excuse me. We will now take a moment for silence observance, please. Roll call, please.
Director Sasania?
Present.
Director Forcar?
Here.
Director Womack?
Present.
Vice President Ohilski?
Here.
President Village?
Here.
Thank you.
Could we have a report out from closed session?
Yes, it'll be a very brief report. There was no reportable action taken in closed session.
Our first order of business then is election of the board president and vice president for 2019. So the process will be that we are taking nominations for the president of the board. We will then take public comment on nominations for president, then a voice vote, if by acclamation. Otherwise, if there are two or more candidates, we will have ballots. And we will go through the same process for vice president. Do I have nominations? I nominate Mr. Ohilski for president. Are there other nominations?
I'm going to throw my hat in the ring just because I've been on the board for quite a while and have not had that opportunity.
All right. So we have, we'll have to do ballots. We have ballots right in front of us.
Let's go to public comment
public
first
comment
before
first.
We do the ballots.
Thank you. Yes, take public comment on candidates for president.
Hi, I'm Vita Miller, longtime resident, and I'm here to support Chuck Sasania to be the president in the year 2019. I've known Chuck probably at least over 20 years. I've known him to be a very honest person. I know that he is very well-educated on all matters regarding Los Osos. He keeps himself up to date. He, if you ask him a question about what's going on, he can find out for you if he doesn't already know the answer, frequently does. I guess I certainly think he's the most knowledgeable person in this community, certainly about water issues. I'm not aware of anyone else that's more knowledgeable than Chuck Sasania. And of course, I certainly believe it's his turn. How could it not be his turn? He's been on the board this time for 4 years and has not, if there's some kind of order or succession, how is it that Chuck did not come up to be at least a vice chair or vice president, whatever? And to my knowledge, he hasn't even held that position. Someone reminded me that this is his fourth time to be elected to the CSD board. And nobody else has been elected 4 times. Now, how long has the CSD been here? Since 1998, I believe. He also got the most votes, and by quite a large margin. So how much more affirmation do you need that this community wants Chuck Sasania on this board, and I certainly think they want his leadership. I do know when I sent out a massive email to people, I got certainly quite a few responses saying yes, that they agree. I hope that they contacted you. I asked them to contact this board. I have nothing against Marshall, of course. I have nothing against Marshall. I think Marshall's a very fair person. But come on now. It's Chuck's turn. Thank you.
Steve Best. And I want to echo Vita's sentiment. I think Chuck is the most exemplary director on this board. He's, I think, he's the most knowledgeable person I've spoken to on this board, and he's dedicated his past 16 years, past four-year four terms, to dedicated to the dedicated to the principles. I think that Chuck Sasania is the best choice for president. Thank you, Rich.
Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I completely support Chuck for the next board chair. And I think Marshall has done a fabulous job. I really hope that his experience and his general knowledge of the last 15 years of this CSD stands out and gives us the leadership that we really should have at this point. Thank you.
Lynette Tornotsky. Nothing against Chuck, but I really think Marshall Ohilski is the person who should be your president. I think he has the background, the negotiating skills, and he sits on a lot of different boards and councils, and I really feel like he has the connections to know what's going on the broader scale, and I really hope you will support Marshall.
I love you both.
Your name for the record.
All right, so at this point we would be filling out our ballots.
Where's your hat to take them in?
I want to thank both of you for stepping up and offering to do president, which is a lot of work.
I think that was the hardest thing I've done in the four terms that I've been here.
Marshall Ohilski. Marshall Ohilski. Chuck Sasania. Chuck Sasania.
Down to the last round.
Marshall Ohilski.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes.
I will now take nominations for Vice President.
I'd like to nominate Chuck Sasania, please.
Okay. Are there further nominations?
So let's remember to have public comment before we do the acclamation.
Yes, I will take public comment.
Then you're done. Mm-hmm. Then you're done. I come to the room.
I know.
I don't think anything needs to be said. Thanks.
Yes, and I certainly hope this means that Chuck will move into the president or chairman's seat next year. Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and your bylaws say that your president and vice president work together to set the agenda. And I look forward to both of your expertise on this coming year's agendas. I know with both of your history that this is going to be a good year. So thank you for serving.
Now I'm calling for a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 By George, I think we've got it. Yes.
I get the gavel.
You get the gavel. You want the seat.
Okay. So thank everybody for their support, and I look forward to working together with Chuck over the upcoming year. So the next item on our agenda is item number 7, presentations, the draft fiscal year audit. Are they here, Renee?
Yep,
they
are.
I can't see.
I am too.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see you now. Okay, so you want to just have Adam come up, or do you want to take
Yeah, we'll have Adam come up. Adam Geis with Moss and Levy is here. He is our auditor.
Hi. As Renee mentioned, my name is Adam Geis, and I'm a partner with Moss, Levy & Hartzheim. We completed the audit services for the district this last year. This is a draft of the financial statements, and with acceptance tonight, it would become the final of the audit. A few things I wanted to point out. It is a clean audit opinion. In the opinion letter, that means we didn't find any material issues with the financial statements. The next section, the management discussion and analysis, that's a good summary of the financial statements prepared by management. Highlights some of the changes that took place in the district during the year, discloses some of the district's reserves, and just gives a good summary of the rest of the pages. Few other things I'd like to point out. The district did come in under budget on expenditures for both the general fund and the fire fund this year, as disclosed in the budget comparisons. And one item that's a little bit unusual that you will note is there are several restatements this last year. A couple things happened this last year. One is GASB 75, which is a new government auditing standards statement, changed the reporting for retiree health benefits. In the past, it was reported in the financial statements, but it was more of a, I think it was 15-year amortization towards the full liability. Now it's recalculated, and you actually put down the full liability in the financial statements. And this was a restatement of, I lost my page. Wait a second. That was a restatement of about $250,000. And what that is, it's not that anything changed with the district and your policies. It's just an implementation in order to give a better picture of what the district's liabilities are moving forward. And it's also to report it kind of in the same way that the pensions are now reported. Another item that led to a restatement this year was the Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro loans. when those were issued in the past, the money was transferred, but those were treated more as transfers. So this is treated as a loan in order to show that there's money that does have to be paid back to the water fund. So the restatement there was a total of $155,000. But if you look at the statements on page 50, you'll notice that some of that amount has already been repaid from both funds, and that both funds actually did have a positive change in net position this year, meaning that they took in more revenue than they spent, including the payback of the loan. Another item is the letter that accompanies the financial statements. In here, we disclose our findings. And this year, there were two findings. One was for inventory. That one is a reminder that the district needs to take inventory around or as close as possible to June 30th every year in order to get an accurate representation of what the inventory on hand or parts on hand balance is, and that was missed this last year. So the district did end up taking an inventory count and then going through records of purchases and usage in order to roll back. So we're fairly comfortable with the balance that's in the financial statements, but that is a control that needs to be implemented and made sure to be done every year. The other finding that we had was dealing with the bond reserve account. As you know, the district is required to repay $25,000 a year into the reserve account until that balance is brought up to the minimum requirement for your bond issuance. That transfer order was given to the bank back in May, but the transfer, for some reason or another, never occurred. And that was remedied in October of 2018 when that transfer was went ahead and was made. And so just going forward, it need to make sure that that payment does indeed occur when the order is given. Outside of that, any questions on the financial statements?
I have a question. So when we're looking into doing the bond refinance, we found a $700,000 shortfall. And I was wondering if you knew, was that money, what it might have been used for, if you saw that in...
A $700,000 shortfall?
And I think it's part of that $25,000 is being used to repay a shortfall. And I guess I'd like to know if it was just... if it might have been prepayments that we forgot to make.
You know, it was, I mean, it was dating back quite a ways, and I'm not sure exactly what the actual expenditures were at that time. That was before we were auditors for the district. I'm not sure if it went to construction costs or if it just wasn't being tracked properly and overspent.
Okay. I don't know is a fair answer if that's the answer, but we were wondering, and I guess I want to make sure going forward that we're doing things correctly so we pay off our bonds.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? This is a presentation, so there's no public comment, or is there?
It's a presentation, just receive and file. You don't take action to approve, but you may ask for public comment okay. If you want anyway.
I'll take public comment in case anybody has any questions. I know this has been before the Financial Advisory Committee twice, so I've got all my questions answered.
Okay, and I did want to point out that the district staff with Renee and Adrian and Ann were very helpful in terms of getting me all the information that I needed in order to do the audit this year.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. We'll take public comment. If there's any additional questions, Adam, I'll bring you up at the end, okay?
Okay.
My first question is, what page was the findings that you were referring to in here? Because I didn't find it in my copy, the public comment. And then to Christine's question about the shortfall, and we were wondering, who is we? I'd like to know who we are that are wondering where that, how that money was spent,
just
because
wait,
it we know. A lot of us that were here know. And we had audits along the way, so we know. I was looking for findings, and I didn't find them. Did you have a page number? Anybody? So I didn't find them. And when I saw findings in past audits, they referred to the previous findings and how they were resolved. So I couldn't find previous findings and how they were resolved, or the current findings and what the district says they're going to do to resolve them in the future. I did just hear their presentation. Sometime in the past, we had an audit that did not find that the general manager was, how do I put this gently, taking compensation she didn't deserve. And I found that. And the year later, the auditor caught up with that and said this money had to be returned. And so my question really is about who's watching the payroll. And the general manager signs off on that payroll every 2 weeks or whatever the payroll schedule is. And someone's responsible for that. So that happened in 2014. The general manager was the person that was overpaid. And then it appears that it's happened again. And the general manager has been signing off on payroll. And it's not... I want to be sensitive to this, but at the same time, somebody has to hold you all accountable. And I'm not seeing that the auditor's doing it. So I'd like, in future audits, that payroll be monitored more closely. And I hope I can have my questions answered.
Thank you. Any other questions, public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close it. Adam, you want to come back up and answer those questions if you can, to the best of your ability?
Okay. So one, in terms of where the findings are, I didn't do a printout of the action packet. I just have the printout from my office. I'm not sure what page those would be on, if they're included in the packet.
Well, I think if I can maybe, in the past, when we've gotten the letter to the board, there's been the findings included in that letter, and they're not in that letter this time, and that's what's a little, I think, confusing. At least that was confusing to me also. Unless you guys just reformatted the letter, because it does talk about corrected and uncorrected misstatements. So in the past, would that be what was normally called the findings?
It should be a letter that's supplemental. It's not in the actual report, but it goes along with it.
Right, exactly. It's a separate document. It's on the website because I've got it. I just booted it up. Anyway, we'll...
With the payroll, when we come out, we're trying to review internal controls. So we do look at payroll. We do test payroll. But if, the errors aren't in particular sample that we happen to pull, then it's difficult for us to find. So we do our best to understand the controls and try and catch where those errors could be caught by the district or prevented by the district. But again, it's hard to catch everything.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, can I answer the question that was directed at me?
So we means me and our municipal advisor. When I say we, and it's not something that was happening this year. It's just something that happened. Oh, then you can tell me later.
Okay. Let's go back and forth here.
And I'd also like to make a comment. I just want to be clear that the presenter spoke about what happened a few years ago with that general manager, that I am not actually on this payroll. That, you know, you guys know that we receive a contract, and it's a contracted
right.
fee. So I just
right.
want to be clear that I'm not receiving any payroll funds.
Okay, so do we have any additional comments on the audit, or are we ready to get a motion to receive and file?
Can I move that we receive and file the auditor's report?
Yes.
I second the motion.
Okay, we have, you guys, I'll take Vicki. She was a little bit louder, so. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have public comment now for items that are not on the agenda, and that includes when it says not on the agenda, things that were on closed session that people already spoke about were on the agenda. So if there's anything else that anybody would like to speak about, now's your chance.
Julie Tacker, and I am always eager to look at your board agendas because I study and follow the district closely. I saw this agenda and noticed immediately that the first meeting started at 5:30. In my mind, that makes it a special meeting because you do not meet at 5:30 on closed sessions. So I think that the original meeting was misposted. I could be wrong. But for safety's sake, for the district, you would post it as a special meeting. The Finance Committee met on Tuesday. It regularly meets on the fourth Monday or the Monday before the board meeting. It met on Tuesday. That, too, should have been posted as a special meeting. Because for the benefit of the public, you have a routine. And if you vary from the routine, someone may get left out. And I've seen it happen where someone shows up a half hour after the meeting started because it wasn't posted properly and they missed the beginning of the meeting or came on the wrong day. So those things need to be tightened up. What I also didn't see and don't see is sort of a ceremonial item where you are welcoming Director Forcroy and welcoming back Director Cecenia. This is customary with the first meeting of the new board. So welcome, gentlemen, and welcome back, Chuck. Another agenda item that should have been before the public is some explanation of what the district is doing about the election snafu and some explanation as to why Ms. Womack has chosen to stay on the board past the expiration of the term. Something that we can understand and feel good about. Some explanation. So those are some things that are missing from the agenda. There's a problem in the district, and I wrote you all a letter on December 21st because I did find a payroll anomaly that came about because your general manager is asking for a mid-year budget adjustment for directors' compensation. And because there's only so many directors and only so many meetings, that didn't smell right to me, and I have done 2 years' worth of analysis on the past compensation, and I have found nearly $10,000 of what I believe are ineligible payments to several directors. So that needs to be agendized and immediately addressed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lindy Owen, I wanted to speak to the issue that Julie just spoke about, compensation to board members when they attend different meetings. It's very clear in the bylaws what meetings are covered. There's usually $100 compensation for these meetings and for separate meetings that they chair, subcommittees. I am appalled that the past director, Vicki Millage, clearly knows the rules, and yet the approximately 6,000 that she asked for overcompensation on has not been addressed, and I want it addressed. This is the same kind of problems that we have had in the past, and they're not acceptable. I think one way to resolve this in the future, well, one, I would like that compensation repaid or some excuse for why Ms. Millage and the other board directors that took it felt that they deserve that compensation. I don't want to see the compensation packet boosted until the community has an explanation about why we are going to increase compensations. This is a community service. In a lot of ways, that compensation is simply to help with all the time that all the directors, which we appreciate, put in. One correction I would like to see, maybe the auditor can support that, is that the Board of Supervisors does this. When anybody takes a compensation, one of those five board members, it is listed. And we know what that compensation was, and if you want to, you can find out what the reasons were. And I think that that should be in your warrant register every month, a new breakdown that talks about the compensations. If it's just the usual compensation, go ahead and list it. If there's extra compensation requested, please make that available to the public. It shouldn't have been a matter of going back and discovering over 2 years of mistakes. And I do hope that the directors that overcompensated themselves will pay it back.
Thank you.
So I'm Vita Miller. I want to agree with what Lindy just said. I don't want to go through all that again. I do want to state I was a public employee for 35 years, the County of San Luis Obispo. If I had padded my paycheck or coded my time card wrong repeatedly, whether it was a mistake or not, I can tell you that I'd be held accountable, probably would have lost my job. I certainly would have been brought up to try to find out what was going on. That's just simply not allowed in the public realm. And I do think the public deserves an explanation of how it happened, why it happened. Is the board not being properly trained as to what their compensation should be? Because if they aren't, who's responsible for that? But please, we need some answers about this. And I definitely think if it was wrongly taken, it needs to be repaid to the public, please. And my other reason, again, to comment, and I have nothing against Ms. Womack. I want to make that very, very clear. I'm talking about the election process and what went on in this past election, and I do not understand why she is still seated. On the website, it says that her term ended December 2018. I'm not aware of you having extended her term. You certainly didn't do it publicly. I was here at the last meeting. Nothing happened. I want to know what you're basing that on. Why aren't we getting that an explanation? I'm all about transparency in our election process. I want to make it clear, Ms. Womack did not get a single vote, not one single vote in this past election, whereas Steve Best came in third, only 60 or 61 votes behind Mr. Forcroy. So I want to see something, some resolution. I want to see some explanation of this. If you have to hold another special election, I believe Tommy Gong said his office would cover that. I want an explanation. What's the citation, the legality for her to be able to stay seated on this board when she was not elected? She ran for a seat that did not exist. She did not receive one single vote. And it is not, this is not personal, okay? I'd be saying this, it wouldn't matter who the person is that's seated there. But it's just not fair. I'm sorry. It's not fair. I want an explanation. Thank you.
Steve Best, and I definitely don't have any malice against you, Christine, or anything, but we need an explanation of how this happened, how we got a half-term seat, that five seats, three ways, that's 60% chance. Four people or two seats, that's a 50% chance. That's the error changed the percentage and the odds of on the seats. So that's why this election is being contested. And we need, as a city or town, we need an explanation. Why did a director come back to this board with a two-seat appointment and nobody else on the board and management, you know, go to the recorder and say, hey, this is not right. We sent a resolution to the county, said we have three seats for full term. I was here when you were appointed, and that's what we were, they were all told. So we need a fair, honest, and transparent government for this town. And if we don't get that, we should disband this organization.
Any other public comment?
Oh. Hi. Pardon me. Tom Wright, Los Osos. Excuse me. We have an opportunity now that the fire station landscape is undergoing a transition, and I would like to donate a little free library to be put in front of the fire station. I've worked with the staff at the fire station on their off hours, and they're excited about it. I figured I would come ask permission rather than forgiveness later on when somebody said, hey, how come this thing is in front of the fire station? But public comment on a positive note, if we'd like a little free library in the community, we have one available. Whoever, the citizens own the land, so went to you for permission. Thank you.
Unfortunately, fire's not here tonight, so we can't get their permission, but any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the board. We'll move on to item number 9, which is administrative committee reports. Fire department is not in attendance tonight, so we'll move right to the sheriff's report.
Good evening, board. Michael Manuelli, Sheriff's Coast Station. I have a report for December 2018. There were 617 calls for service. Compared to last year, same time period, there were 570. That's about an 8% increase in calls for service. Compared to other communities, Avila Beach had 73, Cayucas 148, Cambria 236, and San Simeon 43. Reports generated from those calls from service were 91 compared to 101 the previous year. That's down approximately 10%. Of note, there were 8 assault and batteries, generating 5 reports. We had an intoxicated subject who was punched in the face, but couldn't identify the suspect. Another subject at the laundromat was attacked by someone she knew. There was some kind of past history there. Then we had 3 cases of domestic violence. Disturbance calls, there were 45 different disturbance calls generating 3 reports. Ongoing problems that the sheriff's office is well aware of and has been addressing there. Burglaries, we had 4 reported burglaries generating 2 cases. In one case, a bicycle was stolen from the garage. The subject was in the garage working, received a call, went inside to take the call. Someone took that 30-minute opportunity and stole his $3,000 bicycle. And then tools were stolen from a locked vehicle. Deputies checked the area, checked the vehicle, were unable to determine how entry was made into that particular vehicle. a lot of calls regarding thefts. We had 26 calls regarding thefts, generating 11 reports, and a disturbing continuing trend that I see in thefts, not just in Los Osos, but throughout the entire county, our valuables are not secured. We had tools taken from a vehicle, packages stolen from the front porch, bike left on the sidewalk, tools from the bed of a truck, computer from an unlocked vehicle, bikes in the driveway, just the same thing on and on. We try to educate the community, but you got to lock your vehicles. We had one phone scam resulting in a loss of approximately $2,600. This is a shopper scam. They call. They ask you to be the secret shopper. They say, we'll pay you $300. We want you to go out and spend $2,600. They send her a check. She deposits the check. The bank says it clears. The secret shopper, who does not identify themselves, says, would you please go purchase two $1,300 Apple gift cards, send me a picture of all the information, which you can cash now. Those cards mysteriously get cashed immediately, the check gets returned, and our victim is out a lot of money. Just be aware of any type of situation where they're asking you to pay by Green Dot, any kind of credit card or any kind of gift card. They take those, they cash them immediately, and you are out of the money, and there's no way to get that back. So that's my report for the month.
Thank you. Any questions? Oh, thank you.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.
Okay, Utilities Department report. Pardon me. Utilities Department report.
Congratulations, Mr. Ohilski and Mr. Sasania, for your nominations. Good evening, Mr. President, Board of Directors, citizens of Los Osos, and Happy New Year. My name is Jose Acosta. I'm your Utility Services Manager for Los Osos Community Services District. I'm here tonight to present your utility report for the month of November 2018. The total production for the month of November was approximately 13.9 million gallons of water, and that's an average demand of about 463,400 gallons per day. And that is a decrease in production from last year by approximately almost 5% decrease. Using the state's formula to calculate the residential per capita usage, for November 2018, our residential customers used approximately 61.4 gallons per day per person, and that's a decrease from 65 gallons last year at this same month. I did review the production and consumption numbers for the past year, and they have dropped over the last year. There was a couple months in the beginning of the year where they were higher than the previous year, but overall, that production and consumption has dropped based on the conservation efforts of the community. And even though we are getting this rain that's coming in, these storms are coming in, we're still not out of the red. So let's continue the conservation efforts, and hopefully in the next year or two we'll get this rain that'll help us get out of those drought. Moving on to production and runtime hours by the wells. Each well site you could see is produced, how much gallons it's produced for the month, and you can see the increases or decreases in the right columns on the wells based off of the production, and that correlates as well below on the runtime hours for each well site. The bills that were billed for the months of September 10th through November 7th were approximately 10.6 million gallons billed, and that generated a revenue of about $199,000 for the district for the month of November. Moving on to the utility department's operation and maintenance tasks completed by the crews and the distribution and treatment sections, they completed their normal daily, weekly, monthly monitor water quality monitoring, sampling, analysis, and reporting for all well sites throughout the distribution system, conducted their monthly meter readings, completed roofing projects at Palisade Well Housing, worked with the contractor while 10th Street dive and inspection was completed. We received that report, and the tank does need some repairs, and we'll be coming forward to the board, the UAC, with those requested repairs and getting permission to move forward on getting some quotes on making those repairs. Continued residential meter replacement program, changed out approximately 78 meters. We have changed out in the 2018 about 710 meters over complete. The meter replacement program started in 2014, and right now we're at about 55% complete of the whole system. I'd like to have that completed by the mid-year next year, be 100% completed. And we'll have every meter replaced by between 2014 and that date. Began training staff on proper operation of our valve exercising machine. We purchased this machine a couple months back, and now it's in service. This machine will allow crews to safely and efficiently operate all the valves within the distribution system, isolation valves as well as hydrant valves. And while we're conducting those exercising of the valves, we also check for broken valves, valves that need replacement, and make those annotations and make those repairs as needed. We conducted field inspection on the residential meter boxes and notified the customers who need to clear the brush around the boxes. We sent out a letter a while back to all customers letting them know that please keep the brush around your meter box clear so that it can allow the operator to properly read your meter. We found several boxes that still need to be cleared, so we sent them the second letter asking them to please complete the process by this month, and if they don't, then unfortunately we have to go and clean the process and they'll be assessed a charge on top of that. Just want to give the board a quick update on Bay Ridge septic tanks. We do have those tanks that are still up there. We were looking to receive some quotes, but throughout the holidays, unfortunately, people were on vacation. I was getting lack of responses from the contractors, so I didn't get a complete report to bring forward to the board. But I do want to report that I have a few that should be here by next week, and I also have one contractor who will be making a site visit at the location to provide a quote. I also wanted to let you know that we did find a second location that would possibly take the product, and it's a little closer, so that could affect the overall quotes as well, which may produce a little more cost savings on that project. We also have a report that will be coming to the board hopefully next month, or to UAC regarding brush removal at one of our drainage basins. We have some brush at some basins, so we have to possibly go out and conduct a snail report. So I'll have to come to the board with that information regarding how we're going to, if we're going to move forward getting that completed. Moving on to the drainage basins, we had every drainage facility throughout San Luis Obispo, well, throughout California, had to submit a trash implementation plan on how we're going to monitor our facilities that are heavily impacted by heavy residential or commercial areas. And fortunately for the CSD, we only have one spot that's affected, and that's 8th Street in El Moro, and it's affected because of the school that's near that area. So we developed a plan, submitted it to the state, and it's currently under review. And once we get that approval, we'll let the board know that we've been approved or make the modifications that are requested by the state. The county rainfall totals are listed here as well. As of November, looks like we had looks about 4.5 inches, a little over 4.5 inches total through the month of November. That completes my report for the month of November. Do I have any questions from the board?
Any questions? Nope. Well, Renee, do you want to add something?
Oh, no.
Okay, thank you, Jose. All right, General Manager's report. I see you were getting ready for that.
I was just getting ready, yeah. Sorry about that. So staff activities for the month of December. Staff has been working with auditors to have the final 2017-2018 audit completed for the January meeting. Admin, water, fire staff have been working on the mid-year budget adjustments. The Utility Advisory Committee will be reviewing the mid-year document at their January meeting, which is next week. The board will review the final report at the February board meeting. And as part of working on the budget, we've been working with fire to, as we were reviewing their budget, to balance their reserves. That report went to finance on Monday and was approved and is now under consent agenda item 11G. And I just want to make note that the $76,426 needed to bring the fire reserve balance current is coming out of the district's general operations account, where the county deposits all the assessments and property tax money for all of the funds. So that money that we're moving is fire's money. So we're not taking from any other fund. That's their money, and we're moving it over to their reserve account. And staff has been working with ad hoc committees for the weed abatement ordinance and the refinancing of the water bonds, wastewater bonds. Sorry about that. Wastewater bonds.
Excuse me. Does anybody know what that noise is?
Is it me? About that.
There's getting a lot of feedback. Yeah.
Both as far as the water conservation campaign, both Monarch Grove Elementary and Baywood Elementary have received the entry forms for the logo competition. The entry deadline is January 31st. Once all the entry forms have been received, the board of directors will be contacted and we will start reviewing the entries. Golden State Water Company is responsible for the conservation videos this year. They are coordinating with Los Osos Middle School science and production classes, and the video entry deadline is February 15th. We plan on following with the same process as last year. The Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce will be responsible for soliciting, receiving, and processing the donations for the prizes and the program. Once we have received all the donations, we will be able to determine how much money goes to the prizes and the banners. The Los Osos Low Income Assistance Fund. All nine applicants have completed their sewer laterals and have chosen to abandon their septic tanks. At the board's request, we extended the application process to December 31st, and at this time, we have not received any new applicants. Staff has asked, and in addition, I asked the Community Foundation for an additional $10,000 to cover all the nine applicants. As of December 5th, the sewer service area had 97% connection status. There are 127 residents that are still not connected. Of the 127, 32 residents have obtained a permit to connect to the sewer, and additional 19 residents have filed for grant assistance. There are 26 residents that have recently communicated with the county regarding their noncompliance. There remains an additional 50 residents that have not communicated with the county. These 50 residents will be sent noncompliance letters from the county code enforcement. There is a remaining $119,015.64 in the Community Foundation Fund and $1,329.25 in the Los Osos Low Income Assistance Fund. Staff would like direction on how, at the next time, how to continue with this process. And I did include, just as a general catch-up, all the different checks that we wrote and how much they were and what the balance is in the checking account that we created to receive the Community Foundation funds, and that's the $1,329. And just to finish before I ask some questions, the front office location changed, so I just want to make mention that staff is preparing to move the main office, Suite 102, to Suite 110, which is to the left of this building. The new office has new carpet, new ceiling tiles, new lighting fixtures, kitchen, lunchroom, fresh paint. It's a newer rehabbed suite. The landlord was originally asking for a higher price than what we currently pay for Suite 102, but has agreed to keep the rent the same. And the lease amendment is under consent agenda item 11H. And originally, the district was going to build a kitchen for the staff in the existing suite. The county has since asked for architecture design and a sewer vent pipe. Contractors were giving us verbal bids of approximately $5,000 to $8,000. Just for this process. This would still not include fixtures. In addition to building the kitchen, the suite is old and in desperate need of remodeling, carpet, paint, ceiling tiles, etc. So moving to Suite 110 would, I feel, would save the district some funds in the future and provide staff with a cleaner environment. The expenses incurred for the move, I listed what those expenses would be. They total approximately $6,350.30. I did want to make mention that in the admin mid-year budget, we had set aside $6,450. So we're about keeping the same, hopefully a little bit less. And so I don't know if the board has any questions, but I would like some direction on what the next step or phase would be on the low income assistance fund.
Did
Marshall.
We're not going to, that's not agendized, so we won't.
No, no, but so right. You put it on the next agenda, any, take it to.
Are there any questions for Renee?
Nope.
We'll take that to the FAC next month.
Take it to FAC next month.
And then
got
bring it.
It
back.
Yep.
Okay, Steve, you're up. Chamber of Commerce report. I'm sorry, I thought you had the agenda memorized.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Steve Vinson, president of the Los Osos Spaywood Park Chamber of Commerce, and I'm addressing you tonight for the last time as president. The chamber recently had elections, and so we have a new board, plus some old board members, so I just want to let you know who they are. John Cascamo from Cuesta College. Richard Joseph, he owns a company called Higher Vibes Apparel. Dean Marchance is the owner of Morrow Shores Realty. Olivia Martinez works at Los Osos Valley Memorial Park. Gabe Quiroz owns the Farmers Insurance Company next to right there by the Los Osos Fitness Center. Lynette Tornowski will be back as our secretary. Jim Stanfill has stepped into the role as treasurer, taking over for Sherry Grimm, who has recently retired from the board after many, many years of service. Yours truly will be in the position of past president, and the new president of the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce is Marshall Ohilski. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So all of this leads up to our celebration of accomplishments and installation of the 2019 board officers and directors that we'll be honoring, that we'll have on January 18 from 6 to 9 p.m. at the South Bay Community Center. It starts with a reception at 6 with a no-host bar, followed by a buffet dinner catered by Martine's Restaurant. And the presentation of awards begin at 7:30. And so the awards that we'll be giving out is the 2018 Citizen of the Year, who this year is Linda Quisenberry. And the 2018 Volunteer of the Year is Ed Glieb. And the 2018 Business of the Year is Chrysler Construction. It's open to the public, and if you'd like to attend, you could either stop by our office during business hours or go to our website, and you can get in that way.
Steve, reservations are due by the end of Monday. I just wanted to point that out to the public.
Yeah. We might, if somebody was a little late, we might, you know. But, yeah, thanks for that. We got our business expo coming up on March 14. It's going to be at the South Bay Community Center. And we're going to do a Thursday night instead of a Friday night. I think we've gotten some feedback about, you know, Friday night's a tough night. And so anyway, it'll be March 14 from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the South Bay Community Center. And that's it.
Anybody have any questions for Steve? Well, I'll see you a week from Friday.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is Financial Advisory Committee report. We had the meeting was on Tuesday. So there was a review of the board item regarding the I said that same thing at the committee meeting. Reconciling the fire reserves for fiscal year 2017-2018. Harmony Brown was there. The committee recommended that the board approve that. There was also a presentation or a discussion about the bond refinancing. The committee did recommend that the board approve the, I guess there's three or four resolutions about the bond refinancing. There was a question that came up about the assessment report, which was not included in your original package, but it was posted online, and we all got it emailed to us. So the committee did recommend that. And then they approved their minutes, and recommended that the board approve the warrant register and recommended that the board approve the financial reports for the period ending November 30th, 2018. So that was it. Very productive meeting, I thought. So director's announcements of district and community interests and reports at attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Have any? Okay. Appointment by president of ad hoc committee to review the board bylaws. So I'd like to ask Chuck if you'd be willing to be on an ad hoc committee with me to review the bylaws, bringing that back next meeting for adoption. Okay. All right. So that's the ad hoc committee I'm appointing. I would also, that it's not on this agenda, but just for future reference, appointments to the committees. The committee members serve at the pleasure of the board members. So you're going to have to make appointments to each one of the committees because Lou's appointments are up. And then in our agenda package that we got, there was a committee application. So if you know somebody interested in applying for committees, please let us know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll get it out there. It wasn't on the agenda, but it's something that we need to deal with. A response to previously asked questions. There is one item that will be addressed that was brought up last meeting that will be addressed at our next meeting, and that's the director's compensation. That did come up again tonight. So we're going to address that next meeting, and there's some questions about the election, and we will address those at our next meeting, too. So, last but not least, on administrative committee reports, there's the Parks and Rec Committee letter to the Board of Directors. I don't know who's going to give that.
Well, I'll give it since we don't have a Parks and Rec person right now. Before you, this was something that I brought up at the last board meeting, and that was that the Parks and Recs Committee wanted to send you guys a letter regarding their feelings on them having to fundraise per the motion that was made back in September to approve the funds. It was part of the motion was for them to have to try to find a way to replace that money. So that is what this letter is about. I'm sure at this point you guys have all had a chance to review it, and we will put it on the next board agenda, or I'm just looking for direction at this point.
All right. Do we have any
comment on it?
Is that what you're asking? Mm-hmm. I agree with their letter.
Yep.
You know, we have money for
your microphone.
It's on. We have money for Parks and Rec. It's not a huge amount of money, and we should spend it on ourselves. It's not doing us any good collecting a little bit of interest. It's better used getting rid of the tire chips that everyone didn't like.
Yeah, and I don't think, and again, I said this, I think, last week, I don't think it was our intent to make this a requirement, but it was just something that they could look into, that if they had people that were interested in doing it. So I think that's how I don't think there's any reason to bring this up again. I think we just let it, unless somebody wants to.
I mean, we were going to ask for reimbursement from the county, which
right.
is where it should come from.
Well, this is separate. This is a different
issue. I don't assume we will get it, but we can still ask for it.
And,
no,
and
this
we
was
do
just
have those
having
plans.
The Parks and Rec Committee go out and solicit funds, which
yeah.
they're not going to do.
Yeah. So. But yes, I do want to assure you that at the last Parks and Rec meeting, we are still planning that, and them not knowing what was happening with the committee, who's in and who's out and all that, that is one of the items that's going to be on the first Parks Committee agenda is addressing that. We do want to go to the county, and we do want to do that. But this was the fundraising part.
Okay, good, because that was yeah. clearly half, or actually that was the greater part of the message to yeah. the committee was find a way to present to the county the fact that we would like to work out a reimbursement plan,
right.
not solicit funds from the community. Yeah.
Okay, so public comment on items that are on this administrative and committee reports and the consent. Well, excuse me, before I, sorry. It's my first time doing this for a while. Does anybody have any items on the consent agenda they'd like to pull?
I would like to pull 11H. There's something I would like to add that would need actual board approval to the addendum.
Okay, so anybody else? Okay, seeing none. So we'll take public comment on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda with the exception of item 11H.
What is H?
It's the lease.
Okay. Julie Tacker and the rubber tire chips. I think it would behoove whoever's setting that agenda to find out what the budget at the county sort of cycle is right now. Where are they with getting it into maybe this next year's budget, or how soon they can get the reimbursement into a budget? So just find out where they're at. With regard to the low-income assistance fund, an agenda item in the future, I have suggested, and hope maybe there's some research when the agenda item comes back to you, that you investigate whether the NEP would like the money back to go do what they need to do for the benefit of the basin or the bay. I have some real heartburn over 11F. 11F is a ratifying a contract with NBS for your reassessment report. This was done without the board's authority. This was done by one director. None of you have spending authority as a single board member. The proper thing to have done was to have called a special meeting and gotten the blessing of the majority of the board before entering into and committing this district to up to $24,000. I raised this at the Finance Committee meeting on Tuesday and was assured by Ms. Womack that no out-of-pocket expenses for the refinance of the bond refinance was going to take place, and this contract was included. Paraphrasing, no one gets paid unless the refi occurs. This contract doesn't say that. And without that being in writing, I am very uncomfortable with the idea that NBS gets paid at the end of the day and not anytime they want. Because the language in the contract says, upon payment shall be made within 30 days of submittal of an invoice. They could submit that invoice yesterday, and you have to pay it per the language in the contract. I also don't like that this is coming before, this even being on consent, before your board has decided to go with a refinance, and all these people are then brought on board for reimbursement at the end of the refi. That decision should be made before this decision is made.
Thank you.
We got some process issues at this district, and it needs to stop.
Thank you.
Lindy Owen again. I want to
Hold on.
That's okay. Just give me my 3 minutes. Okay. All right. I wanted to address when we get into this next year's conservation work with the schools, is that going to be made public, or has this now become just a repeat of how it was done last year? I would like to be involved. I think there were some improvements. There are some improvements that could be made, and I don't know where it's discussed at utility committee meeting. I'd like to answer to what, how to get involved with that a little bit more. I wanted to thank Steve. He's done a great job for the chamber. He's made it very fun, and I hope it continues being part of the meetings a lot. I wanted to speak briefly about the sheriff's report talked about the car break-ins and so forth. There is a tip that I don't think people know much about, but when you use your key fob to shut off, to lock your car, if somebody has the correct equipment, and it's now happening in big cities, they can scan your the coordinates on that entry to your car. So a suggestion is just get used to manually locking your car when you get out. It's just it's another future item that we're all going to have to live with. As far as the move goes, I know that's going to be discussed separately, but it's already advertised that that building is for rent. So I thought that this should have gone through the board a little more than just all of a sudden being a done issue. I hope that maybe we get comment afterwards, but if not, and then we are supposed to be writing and sending a letter to the county to ask for reimbursement to a product that has made our children sick. They refused to change it out because they said it had another life expectancy of 3 to 4 years. It was some $24,000 that they estimated, or more, I think. And we did the job as a community, and we should be very proud of it. I want to again thank you for all the work you did putting it together. But that does not mean that we just use the money that we have sitting in an account. That's to be used for a dog park in the future, if anything. And it will take some funds in the future. So we don't just eat that cost and move on our merry way. The county needs to reimburse us at some point, somehow, for the work that we did to keep our children safer than they would have been if they continued playing in that garbage. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close and bring it back for a motion to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda with the exception of item 11H.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Do we have any resolutions? I need a roll call. Okay, we need a roll call vote then.
Vice President Cesania.
Yes.
First time.
It didn't flow. Director Womack?
Yes.
Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Director Millage?
Yes.
And President Dohilsky?
Yes. Okay, with this then, we'll move on to general action items. Items 12. First item is 12A, the high water bill due to the broken pipe. So would you like to give the staff report? Or is Jose going to give it, or...?
I'll read the staff report, and then, you know, you could stay there, sir. Yes. This is in regards to high water bill due to broken pipe at 1190 7th Street. On November 18th, Teresa Beck was on a high-low report with high usage. A water resource operator was sent to reread the meter, and it was correct. The operator spoke with the customer during the rereads, and the owner said that they had a broken pipe, and it took them 8 hours to figure out the problem, and that... 153 units passed through the meter. On December 12th, Ms. Beck came into the district office to set up a payment arrangement and told staff that the pipe broke during the night. Water was running all night and all day up until 4 p.m. when the customer attempted to locate the leak. Staff is unsure of when the exact day the leak occurred, but was during the time frame of this billing cycle, September 10th, 2018 through November 7th, 2018. In summary, Mr. Black is here to represent Teresa Beck on her behalf, and she approved that. Mr. Beck called the district to ask if we had a leak credits available. Our billing specialist explained to him that due to being in stage three of the water shortage contingency plan, leak credits are suspended. Mr. Black requested a copy of the district's Title II, and staff emailed the Title II policy to him on November 14th, 2018. Mr. Black was informed that the district could offer payment arrangements for an exemption of 1 year with no late fees to be paid no later than December 31st, 2018. Mr. Black agreed to that payment arrangement. During that conversation, he asked about our board meetings, and he wanted to speak to the board. And the utility billing specialist suggested that he attend the December 6th board meeting and speak during public comment. But Mr. Black was not interested in speaking during public comment and wanted to actually be placed on the January 10th agenda. And so Mr. Black is here today to speak about this high water bill.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. My name is Alan Black, and I'm representing Teresa Beck. And I appreciate the opportunity to bring this to the board's attention. So the date of the break, we believe, was on the morning of November 4th. We had low pressure. Later on in the day, we realized by talking to neighbors, the low pressure was only in our house and not on the whole street. So we went looking and in the crawl space and so on. Eventually, we located a wet spot in the sand some distance from the house and fixed it immediately. Unfortunately, in that short amount of time, the consumption of water totaled about $1,730. So I was present actually when one of the staff came and dropped off a courtesy notice and spoke with them and told them we indeed had a leak. We're curious how much water had leaked out in that amount of time. And so when we saw the amount on the bill, we were pretty excited about it. It's a lot of money. So I came here to try to appeal to the board on a number of items. One was is that when I did read the policy that was in place prior to the Stage 3 water shortage contingency plan, and then I also took a look at some other water districts and what their policies are that are in place currently. Unfortunately, I also was on a water board for 7 years. The meetings, we didn't have quite as many fans on our meetings to come and do public comments. In fact, we couldn't get people to come, but so quite a different process here. But we had a policy also for relief there. There was a difference between leaks that were caused from negligence, where a leaky toilet or a dripping faucet or something like that, those are forgotten, left a hose on. Those types of leaks we considered negligent, but a busted pipe we recognized pretty quickly could also be the result of operations actually within the district. So there are transients and surges that occur. A lot of times transients and surges can bust pipes. And so we had a policy in our water district for relief. Relief was one time every 12 months. So when the relief was removed as part of the Stage 3 water shortage contingency plan, I would hope that the suspension of this policy was to encourage maintenance and vigilance for conservation, and this would curb negligent maintenance of toilets and leaky faucets, but not as a penalty for a one-time leak beyond the control of the customer, and that was resolved the same day. So this is the only leak that Mrs. Beck has had in 16 years of ownership. The timing couldn't be worse because the customer has been on medical disability and unable to afford the $1,730, even spread out over 12 months. And having been on a board of water district board, these are not-for-profit boards. And so it was something of a no-brainer to have a leak policy in the community that I was in, which is San Martin. We had a lot of low-income residents. And a bill of this size could be devastating. So I'd like to appeal to the board for relief, and I'd like the board to consider modifying the relief policy that within the Stage 3 water shortage contingency plan to allow for these types of non-negligent leaks. Also, I suggest that the board get a transient monitoring system for surges and so on, so leaks like this may not happen in the future. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions? We have public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, bring it back to the board.
Regarding the possibility of some kind of surge, we had no other complaints from anybody else, no other breaks in the neighborhood anywhere else?
That is correct. Hello? Yes, no, we had no other complaints. Within the neighborhood, within the district. We do have operating valves that act as surge protectors, and at our well sites, we also do have a couple filter tanks that do act as surge protection as well. So we do have tools in place to assist with surges if there is a surge in the system. Unfortunately, the recommendation of adding transient or pressure monitoring devices has been discussed at UAC for future SCADA upgrades when we get there.
Right. Thank you.
No, go ahead.
Well, I hate to be the mean person, but I think our policy is if you use the water, you have to pay for it. But can we extend a prepayment period much further than 12 months, like, and make the increase easier?
Right. Well, I think also Roy needs to address this more than, because I think under the current policy, we don't have the ability to do that.
No, we weren't able to do that for the last person right. That's that why I brought to you guys.
I think Roy needs to address it, not you.
Yeah, the water supply emergency policy, and you notice I didn't use the word shortage because your emergency declaration is not based just on shortage. You have lots of other factors in place as to why you have to have them made. But it did include a suspension of the policy. So it, as currently stands, you don't have the power to grant this type of relief. You would have the power to bring the policy back and amend the policy, but I wouldn't recommend ad hoc relief in violation of the policy itself. Now, if the policy were changed, then assuming you had the power to grant relief, that would imply you would have the power to not grant relief to the dollar amount but stretch out the payments further. But I wouldn't recommend an ad hoc choice to ignore the established policy.
But, excuse me. But this could go back to Utility Advisory Committee, which first generated, and then
yes.
Come back to the board, and then they could come back at that point.
Correct.
To look at amending our policy that would allow us to...
No, I was just having Roy answer Christine's okay. question. Okay, we need something.
I just want to say that we would... There'd be quite a few people. I mean, I could think of maybe 10 situations where this has happened. So if we do that, I mean, and I'm not saying not to do it, but if we were to do that, there's about... at least 10 that I can think of in the past 2 years that I've been here that's happened to, and we've told them no.
Yeah.
And like I said, not to mention Coleman, we gave her a year.
No, you gave her 12.
Shh. Hey, Julie. So, yeah, I don't know. I, as the chair of UAC, at least for now, so what do you think?
Oh, we welcome all issues.
So I think the best thing that I would suggest is that we refer this back to you, because Roy's saying we don't have the authority to do this, and then have UAC take a look at it and bring it back to us so we can
sure.
decide. And then if at that point the committee is recommending a change in the policy, Black and the other people would have the ability to come back and ask for reconsideration. Does that make sense? That's what you were saying, right, Roy? Kind of, sort of?
I was trying to dance around it a lot more than that.
So I think that's the best we can do at this point. So we'll take it to the next Utility Advisory Committee meeting, and you're welcome to attend that.
I don't know if we can do the next.
Already post that agenda?
Not next one, the one after next,
February.
I'm sorry. The February meeting, I apologize.
Yeah, February.
We'll make sure you get contacted with the date. I'll make sure you get contacted with the date. Okay, so we'll move on to 12B, which is the resolution adopting the district debt management policy. This is a relatively short staff report, so... You're on this one, Chris.
Oh, I go up to 11H. I have the...
This is adopt a resolution adopting the district debt management policy.
Okay, so can we have our municipal advisor come help me explain this?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead and
they're here, we might as well take advantage of them.
Yes, this is Bud Levine is our municipal advisor, and Nikki Tallman's with Brandis Tallman. They place the bonds, but Bud helps us. So he's probably better explaining.
Well, what I was going to ask while you're up there, since we have 11B and 11, or pardon me, 12B and 12C both addressing this issue, do we want to just go through the whole thing? And
I was going to say, Jay, you took the words right out of my mouth. Okay. Both are very interrelated, and it's good that we're doing the debt management policy first and then right on into the proposal to refund the bonds. State law requires that all districts, cities, counties have a debt management policy. It's SB Bill 1029, came effective January 1st, 2017. And these debt management policies have to contain certain elements. Bond Council, Mr. Paul Timmick, who is here, crafted a compliant debt management policy that covers all of the necessary elements. I'd like to point out one important element for the purposes tonight, which is that one of the paragraphs deal with refundings, which we're going to be talking about in the next item. And in this, a policy is indicated, which is standard for the industry, that the net present value of savings equal at least 3% of the amount of the bonds being refunded. And if not, there has to be special action by the board to allow for that. That gives you the flexibility that if there were some reasons why the savings wasn't really the important circumstance, but certain covenants and certain operating requirements needed to be changed, you could use that with board approval. But absent board separate board approval, 3% is the minimum. That's something to keep in mind when we talk about the proposed refunding of the 2002 wastewater bonds. Basically, it's a very standard policy, covers everything, talks about the type of debt that you can issue, talks about the process, talks about continuing disclosure, which is a significant factor once you have issued debt. And as your advisor, I recommend highly that this particular policy be adopted. And then that will allow us to consider the refunding, and you couldn't do the refunding without some debt management policy in place. Anybody, you want to add anything to that? Paul, any?
Well, the last statement is...
You need to come up to the microphone, I'm sorry.
That's why we have them here.
The state law was amended to require you to adopt a debt policy. However, if we authorize bonds, it doesn't invalidate the bonds. So you don't have to have a debt policy. But if you read it, it's a wise guideline. It's no more than a guideline. And the board can change it if it wants it moving forward. But it gives you sort of a framework in which to view debt and when you would use it and why you would use it. So I think it's an important tool. But frankly, it isn't absolutely necessary to do the refunding. But again, I think it's a good policy. State law wants you to have one. Thank you, John Chang, who's no longer our treasurer, but he put that in. And this policy is patterned after ones we've used for a number of other public agencies. So it's not reinventing the wheel. It's very similar to what some cities and counties have as their policy.
Can you state your name?
I'm Paul Timmick with Quinton Timmick, out of Larkspur, California, Bond Council and Disclosure Council. And I do, my only existence is doing bond issues. So I have 30 years of experience doing it. And I'm happy to answer any questions on this matter or when we get into the refinancing. Thank you.
Yes, he's our bond counsel that we hired. And whenever we asked somebody who to use, Paul's name always came up.
Okay.
So. Marshall?
Actually,
that's me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to chime in because there's an additional reason to want to have this particular resolution in place for your staff, because your staff, which includes your general manager and your general counsel, are going to have to be signing documents in the meantime in order for this bond refinance to become effective in time to meet the next payment date so you can actually start saving money. And for us to have that comfort level, we have to have something in place that tells us we've received board direction that as long as this refinance meets at least the minimum standards set forth in the resolution, we're okay to proceed. Without that, we wouldn't have a good comfort level.
Okay. All right.
So shall we...
Should we take this separately, Brian?
I would recommend just for neatness that we approve this item first before okay. we go on to the
and
next one.
And then move
one.
Along.
So do we have any questions, public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. Bring it back for a motion.
All right, I move that the board adopt resolution 2019-2 adopting the district's debt management policy.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. We need a roll call. Please. Yes, I know we do. Oh. I said we do.
Director Womack?
Yes.
Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Director Millage?
Yes.
Vice President Sassani?
Yes.
And President O'Hilsky?
Yes. Okay, with that then, we'll move on to item 12C, which is the issuance of the limited obligation refunding bonds wastewater assessment district. And there's three resolutions, 2019-03, 2019-04, and 2019-05. So we have a PowerPoint presentation.
Correct. You have the clicker for me? Oh, it's right there. Thank you.
We need. Could somebody get those lights in the back there, please?
Well, first of all, I'd like to introduce everybody that is here to talk about this proposed financing, refunding. The financing team consists of my firm, our firm, Wolf Hansen and Company. I'm Bud Levine. I've been in this business for close to 50 years, I hate to admit. And Mark Pressman, who's around 40 years, we have about 90 years experience between the two of us in doing these type of issues. Some of you may or may not remember me, but in 2014, we approached the district about doing a similar refunding. That was at a time when you were finalizing your bankruptcy. A lot of work was done at that time to bring things to the point of a possible refunding, but at that time the board decided to wait until everything was straightened out, and 4 years have gone by, and fortunately, interest rates are very attractive, which you will see in a minute with the rest of the presentation, and this is a very opportune time to do this refunding. In doing this business for a lot of years, sometimes as a municipal advisor, it's a very close call. It's a very difficult call whether to recommend that a refunding go forward or not. This is one of the easier ones because it meets all of the basic sound parameters of a successful refunding. And you'll see it provides savings for the property owners. It provides a couple of benefits for the district that is going to save the district money, and all in all becomes a very sound move to complete and move forward with the refunding. In addition, in our team, we have who you just met, Paul Timmick from Quinton Timmick, the Bond and Disclosure Counsel, and he described what he does. I'm going to introduce in just a second Nikki Tallman, who is here with Jeff Land and Jeff from Brandis Tallman. Their job is as underwriter. NBS is the Assessment District Administrator. They are not here tonight. And, of course, U.S. Bank as the fiscal and escrow agent would not be attending this type of meeting. I might want to just briefly describe the difference between a municipal advisor and an underwriter. Up until 2014, those services could be combined with one unit. In fact, when we were here as Wolf Hansen in 2014, we were providing both
financial advice and the underwriting services. Now the regulations have changed to where a municipal advisor is held to a much higher standard in the advice that is given to a district or a city or any issuer, and that's a fiduciary standard. We have to recommend what is best for the district or the issuer, not what is best for anybody else. The underwriter, on the other hand, still is required to do what is best, but it's not a fiduciary responsibility. Their job is to underwrite or sell the bonds at the best possible price for the issuer. Our job then is to review that and make recommendations that that is, in fact, the best thing that the district could do. So with that, let me give you a little background on the on this issue. We have this is the Wastewater Assessment District number 1, 2002 Limited Obligation Improvement Bonds. Back in November of 2002, the district issued these bonds to finance the acquisition and construction of public wastewater improvements. At the time the bonds were issued, and currently, they carry an interest rate of 5% with a final maturity of 2033. In order to refund these bonds, we have to have a sale of new bonds, the proceeds of which will be put in an escrow that will be used to, and the legal technical term is defease, but what that really means is pay off the outstanding bonds so they are completely paid off and all the requirements of those bonds then go away. The amount necessary to do that in this transaction is going to be $12,300,000. So the sale of the bonds will produce $12,300,000. It will be put in an escrow, the proceeds of which will be used to pay off the bonds when they are able to be refunded. This particular issue has, and I think it was mentioned earlier by your district council, has two payment dates where they can be refunded. They can be refunded on March 2nd, and they can be refunded on September 2nd. When we were approached to put together the team to do this, we realized we had a very tight time schedule to meet the March 2nd deadline. That's because the bonds need to be sold and proceeds completely presented by 30 days prior to the call date. So that means that we have to close the issue roughly by February 4th in order to meet that timeline. A lot of work has been done, as some of you on the board know, over the last 2 to 3 weeks, probably the month. There were vacations that were changed around. A lot of work was done to bring all of these documents for your approval tonight to meet that timeline. Why is that important? I think that Brandis Tallman is going to point out in a minute that the interest rates are so favorable right now, you really want to get to market as quickly as possible. Currently, last point, these bonds have an underlying rating, the current 2002 bonds, of BBB+ by S&P. That's an upgrade from where it was when I first was talking to the district in 2014. They were BBB-. They are now BBB+. A new rating will be applied for and is being applied for as part of this process, and we're hopeful that that rating will be at least BBB+ and possibly higher. In addition, I believe that we're going to explore the possibility of bond insurance, which you currently have on your old bonds. However, that bond insurer is no longer a very viable entity in the marketplace. We're going to look at we're talking to the two of the viable entities. And if we do get insurance, the numbers you're going to see tonight will be exceeded, so the savings could be even greater than what are going to be shown. So with that, I want to turn it over to Nikki Tallman and Jeff Land from Brandis Tallman, and I'll be here to answer any questions as we go along.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. President, Vice President, and members of the board. I'm Nikki Tallman. As introduced, I've been in the municipal bond underwriting industry since 1993. I founded Brandis Tallman in 2002. Jeff Land is a vice president with our company, and he's been with us for about 12 years now. Um, We're going to continue the conversation about refunding by looking at the interest rate environment in the marketplace. As many of you may watch the interest rate environment, if you have a home mortgage, you look at the interest rates for an opportune time to refund or refinance your mortgage. We do the exact same thing with bond interest rates. The benchmark for bond interest rates is the Treasury bond. And most municipal bonds will follow the Treasury market, sometimes with a slight lag. Supply and demand can also affect their following the Treasury, but in general, they do follow the Treasury. So we look at that as a benchmark. Most of last year, the interest rates were relatively steady, relatively stable, probably from February through the end of August. We started to see interest rates increase in the fall of last year until the beginning of November. In the beginning of November, the 10-year Treasury rate was a 3.21%, and then rates began to decline, and they declined steadily from early November really to date. The 10-year Treasury today was a 2.73. So that's a 48 basis point reduction, or 0.48% reduction in interest rate. That's a big move in the relatively stable bond market. So a half a point reduction really shows us that interest rates have come down off an even, you know, low general interest rate environment. Last Friday, the Fed Chairman Powell made a comment that they will look for data to back up interest rate increases going forward rather than a bias toward raising rates on a predetermined program. And interest rates then started to increase. So we did see an increase in interest rates over the last week, probably by about 15, 16, 17 basis points. But in general, the interest rate environment is great for refinancings right now. The current interest rate on the bonds is 5%. Refunding is anticipated to lower the interest rate to below 3.5%. The all-in interest cost or interest rate, including all of the cost of issuance, is estimated to be 3.75%.
Nice. This
produces average annual savings or cash flow of about $104,000 per year. So property owners in the assessment district could save above $100,000 a year. The total cash flow savings over the life of the issue is about $1.37 million. Here's a graph of that projection. Again, annual savings approximately $104,000 per year with total savings of $1.3 million. In the last year, you'll see that the savings are reduced. There is a reserve fund on the existing bonds, and there will be a reserve fund on the refunding bonds, and that reserve fund is used to pay the last year of debt service. So we schedule it so that the debt service will be paid by the reserve fund. There are a few additional refunding benefits. They've been touched upon a little bit tonight. One benefit is the elimination of approximately $247,000 owed by the district to the reserve fund for the 2002 bonds. And the second additional benefit is the reconciliation of a debt variance that has developed over time that could lead to a future risk of default if the debt variance isn't corrected. It's approximately $9,000 a year. We're going to talk a little bit more about these points here on the next two slides. Is that better? It's a little hard, a little fuzzy, a little hard to see. I'll read through those bullets, and it's a background of the reserve fund for the 2002 bonds. In November of 2002, the reserve fund was fully funded with the issuance of the bonds. In 2002, the reserve fund was fully funded with the issuance of the bonds. In September of 2006, approximately $714,000 of the reserve fund was used. In October of 2006, a month later, the district entered into an agreement with MBIA, the insurer of the 2002 bonds, to pay back that reserve fund. And it pays it back, in accordance with the agreement, approximately $25,000 per year. And that comes from the district's general fund and from bond administration fees. In fiscal year end 18, the annual payment was deferred. The source for the initial deposit of the reserve fund is the official statement for the original issuance. And the source for the activity, September, October of 06 and fiscal year end 18, is the audit.
Hey, can I just add a couple of comments on this?
Yes.
First of all, just so everybody understands, the debt service reserve fund is used in the event that there's insufficient funds in the hands of the trustee to make debt service payments. The first thing that occurs is they draw money out of the debt service reserve. That's then supposed to be replenished as funds come in to pay. This is usually caused if assessment payments were not paid on time. What occurred here is apparently money came into the district. The district did not turn that money at that time over to the trustee. And so when the trustee did not have enough money to make the debt service payment, they drew down on the reserve because the money had not been transferred. MBIA was the insurer. Now, when they insured the bonds, they charged a particular rate, just like any insurance company is going to look at their risk as to determining the rate they're going to charge. When they see that there's $1.1 million in cash reserve protecting their position, they're going to charge a lower rate. And then when they see that there's only $400,000 in there, they feel that's a violation. And that's what caused the agreement that required the district to pay $25,000 a year until it was paid back. This $25,000 that was missed, we weren't sure of what caused that when we saw that in this year's audit. And it's nice to hear Renee cleared that up for us, and then also your auditor alluded to it. That was an automatic draw that was supposed to be made by U.S. Bank. They did not make that payment as they were supposed to, and then it got paid, I guess, in October. So you're currently up to date on that. So this was a little bit of a misstatement that has been put in this PowerPoint because we were not aware of that fact until the time. Sorry, Nikki, but go ahead.
That's good. So with that background, if the district proceeds with the refinancing of the 02 bonds tonight, the obligation to reimburse the 2002 bond reserve fund will be eliminated. That will save an additional $247,000. The second additional benefit is an elimination of a debt variance. Currently, there's a greater amount of debt service on the bonds than is available from the assessment lien. And so the collections may be insufficient to pay the bond amount that has occurred over time. It's approximately $9,000 per year, and a refinancing of the 02 bonds would reconcile and eliminate the variance between the assessment lien and the bonds going forward.
You might want to point out that the end result of that, to connect all the dots, would be if this continues at the end of the time when all the assessments. I understand totally. Sorry. The end result of this would be that after all of the assessments have been paid, and now there's no more money coming in, there still would be an amount of bonds still outstanding because of the fact that there was this variance. With this refunding, that would not occur.
all of the payments that made by the assessments will pay all of the remaining debt service on the new bonds, so there will not be that shortfall.
That's good. Thank you. So it's a win for property owners with savings in the district, and it's a win to reconcile the debt variance and eliminate the need for the district to pay out of the general fund and administration $25,000 a year. So we see it as a win-win-win. There are certain legal documents that are necessary for approval, and Jeff Land is going to briefly review those documents.
Thank you, Nikki. So I'm really here to give Nikki's voice a rest. And Paul's here to correct any misstatements I may make, so I should probably bring him everywhere. So with regards to the documents that are going to be presented to you in a moment, there are three resolutions to be we are seeking approval for tonight. The first resolution is to initiate a levy for a reassessment. Currently, what you have in place in the assessment district is an assessment, a levy to assess. And what we're looking for tonight is to reassess. And that means that what that really equals is savings. The whole objective here is to save property owners money. So we are going to reassess those levies to a lower amount. So that's the first resolution that will be presented. Following approval of that one, we are seeking approval of a resolution for the reassessment report that MBS prepared. That report is a vital document for us in order to move forward with the financing. That is what the rating agency will review. It is what our bond insurers that are evaluating this are going to be reviewing, and it is what investors who would be interested in buying bonds from us for the district would be reviewing. So that second resolution would be approving that. And then our third resolution that we'll be seeking approval for tonight is for the authorization to proceed with the refinancing of those limited obligation improvement bonds. How am I doing, Paul? We're okay? Okay. So I want to go into some detail regarding the documents that are associated with the refinancing. The third resolution that I referenced regarding the authorization to proceed with the refinancing is the authorization to approve the following documents that are presented here. The first one here is we look at is a fiscal agent agreement. Currently, you have a fiscal agent on your existing 2002 bonds. That's U.S. Bank. They are responsible for making sure that bondholders are receiving their payments from the assessments. So that is one agreement. We have to have a new agreement in place for the refinancing. The other agreement you see there is an escrow agreement, and that is for U.S. Bank as well, and that is related to the defeasance of the 2002 bonds. So U.S. Bank will have to refinance. They pay out all the existing bondholders who own the 2002 bonds, and they are responsible for that action in the escrow agreement. The next document there is a bond purchase agreement. That is fairly specifically related to myself as the underwriter. On the day of pricing, we are going to come to an agreement with consultation. The district will consult with their financial advisor regarding the pricing that we are going to present. If all parties are agreed, and when I say pricing, that means the interest rate levels that we are putting together from our bond sale. If everyone is in agreement on the pricing, then what we would enter into is called a bond purchase agreement, and that is an agreement that states that I, as the underwriter, are purchasing all the bonds from you, and it is going to be my responsibility to sell the bonds to the public at the interest rates that we have agreed upon. So following the execution of that agreement, we are now completely responsible, and you get your money, and you have no further responsibility for this. And that is an important factor, because in the event that there's any liquidity issues in the market, as we have seen in the past, it is really our responsibility to sort that out and sell the bonds. So that is a big document that does get signed on the day of pricing. Another document there is called the preliminary official statement. That is a very important disclosure document that gets released to the public. That is a prospectus that describes the bond issuance to interested investors who would want to buy the bonds. So it is a fairly extensive document that Paul Timmick has been working on that provides the necessary due diligence for interested bond investors. So if any of any people in the public wanted to buy the bonds, they would have access to that prospectus to read through it and get all the necessary information they would need with regard to purchasing those bonds. The next item there is the continuing disclosure agreement, and that really is related to transparency. This is an SEC requirement because we are a very highly regulated industry. So the continuing disclosure agreement makes sure that all disclosure requirements moving forward are met by the district with regard to this bond issue. So I think Nikki's had a break for a moment, and she's going to jump back in and talk about, and Bud's going to hop in.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Good presentation on that. I wanted to point out something I just picked up from hearing some of the comments tonight that may be of concern both to the board and to the public. And that, when we relate back to what Jeff just was talking about, that continuing disclosure document, some of you may be thinking, well, where was that in 2011 and 2006? And the answer is, it wasn't in existence in those earlier days, and the ones that were in existence weren't as complete and required the complete information that it does now. So now, when a continuing disclosure document is prepared, it really does disclose all the material events. If money has not gone where it's supposed to go, if there's been a shortfall, if there's been a default, if there's been a failure to file required notices and required financial information. So that's an extremely important document for the protection not only of the district as issuer, but for the buyers who have bought the bonds. So I just wanted to emphasize that.
And again, here's a look at the estimated savings to the property owners in the assessment district, $104,000 per year estimated, total savings of over $1.3 million. The savings represent about 6.5% reduction in lien and about 8% reduction in the total payment, which is the lien and the interest. So when we line up what each property owner will pay under the existing bonds versus the refunding bonds, the total payment, lien and interest, is about 8% reduction.
Does that 6.5 and 8%, it's on?
Got to get closer.
Okay. Does that 6.5 and 8% include the debt variance? Because that's something that property owners weren't feeling before, and now you're going to take that little bit and put it in there, as far as the $104,000 minus the $9,000, right?
The 8% savings compares the existing lien to the new lien. So I'm not exactly sure I understand your question.
The property owners are being currently assessed at a $9,000 a year deficiency for what's owed, right? And this refinance process is going to add that?
No. That $9,000 is something we are not paying that needs to be paid, but they will make that problem of ours disappear.
So we're really reducing the bond amount. We're not increasing the lien amount.
Got it.
So through the through the refunding, we're reducing the bond.
Because what I'm trying to get to is what a property owner can expect to see, the difference that we're actually going to see on our tax bill.
So exactly. If you pay 100%, you'd be paying $100. Your bill would be $92.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that is per $100, you'd be paying $92.
Yeah.
It's
the 8%.
8% we have.
Right.
That $9,000 is included in the $104,000 in the debt service.
Perfect.
So it's covering everything.
Yeah.
And it's the reduction in interest rate that's really bearing the brunt of correcting that. So that's why the refunding is such a beneficial, not only to the district in certain areas, but to the property owners and the district again, because everything now balances properly.
Got it.
And they get that 8% reduction, A plus. And by the way, not to be confusing, the 3% I mentioned in the debt management policy, that's not equated to the 8% or the 6%. You'll see Nikki will talk about that.
Okay. In a minute. Thank you.
Okay. The refunded principal amount, and now I'm reading through the column on the right, if it's a little blurry, but the refunded principal amount is $12 million. The new bond amount, what we call the par amount of the new bonds, would be $10,460,000 as an estimate. Again, the estimated interest cost is below 3.44%. The estimated all-in interest cost, including cost of issuance, is 3.74. And again, these are estimates. They'll change with market conditions until we price the bonds and the bond purchase contract is signed. The cost of issuance in total, we estimated at approximately $350,000. That has come down. We're refining the numbers as we go. We always start with a conservative estimate and then work our way down. But at the time of presentation of the of this PowerPoint, we were still estimating $350,000. The initial reserve fund deposit. The initial reserve fund deposit out of the proceeds of the bonds is estimated to be $250,000. We will use the April collection to put into the reserve fund to bring it up to the initial reserve deposit. That amount has already been levied. It's already on the tax roll and expected to be collected. Average annual savings, again, $104,000. The present value of the total savings are expected to be just over $1 million. $1,035,000. We take a present value of the total savings based on the interest rate on the bonds, and that net present value savings percentage is estimated at 8.63%. So you can see we're quite in excess of the 3% minimum. And we talk about a 3% minimum MPV number because many of the large issuers in the state set that as their policy. The state of California, LA Department of Water and Power, LA Unified School District. So other entities kind of adopt the 3% MPV. Here we're over 8%. We'll quickly go through the financing timeline. What will happen if the board adopts the resolutions before it tonight? We have a call scheduled with the rating agency for Monday afternoon. We will continue to work with the rating agency and the bond insurer and present the district's credit to hopefully receive a rating and bond insurance quotes by maybe the third week of January. We'll publish the POS. The preliminary official statement that is the disclosure document and describes the credit toward the end of the month. We hope by January 22nd. That will allow us a week with the credit in the marketplace to call investors, market the bonds, and start getting preliminary feedback on the interest rates. We expect to price the bonds on the 31st of January. The day prior, we will have a pre-pricing call or meeting with the district, review the feedback from the investors, and the preliminary interest rate scale. The conditional call notice can be sent once the bond purchase contract is signed on the 31st, and that will exactly meet our requirement for a 30-day notice requirement. We will use the next couple weeks in February to finalize the documents and have them executed, and closing is on Valentine's Day. The 2002 bonds would then be called on 2nd of March, which is a Saturday. It will roll till Monday, March 4th. Just briefly, in conclusion, if the board adopts the resolutions before it tonight, the property owners are anticipated to save annually $104,000. It represents approximately 8% payment reduction for all of the property owners in the district. We have 4,100 and change parcels, so that's quite a broad economic group that will be receiving reduction in payment. The district will be relieved of approximately $247 total of money that will be needed to be deposited in the 2002 bond reserve fund, and will reconcile the assessment to the bond variance. With no refunding, the property owners will not realize savings on future tax bills. The district will continue to pay $25,000 per year until it reaches the total of just under $250,000, and the debt variance of $9,000 per year will remain and build up as a concern. We are all here for questions, if you have any for us now at this time.
Okay, thank you. Oops, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I do have a question.
Wait, do you have something to add before we go to questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to, as part of this conclusion,
can we have the lights back up too, please, Julie? Oh, hold on.
As your financial advisor, I can be highly criticized if I recommend something that doesn't make sense and isn't beneficial to the district. When you look at this conclusion, it makes my job very easy to recommend that we move forward.
Thank you.
And we're available for any questions, yeah, certainly.
So let's go into questions. Chuck, you had a question?
Yes. Perhaps this got explained and it just didn't penetrate. The debt variance, which needs to be addressed, how does that come about, and how do we ensure it doesn't happen again?
That's a terrific question, by the way. And the answer to the first question is it came about because at some point in the over the life of the existing issue, assessment, property owners paid off their assessment. Property owner 8 paid off his assessment. It came into the district, and that money never got to the trustee to pay off the bond that relates to that. So now that assessment is no longer available to pay, and yet you have a bond that's still outstanding. So you cover all of those over a long period of time, and you end up with $9,000 less in assessments coming in because some many have paid off, and yet the bonds that related to those assessments, the bonds should have been paid off and called, are still there. So your debt service is $9,000 higher. Now, at the end of the day, when all of the assessments have paid off, there still will be an amount of bonds outstanding, and I think it's around about 117,000 that would be left outstanding. Whose responsibility was that? Obviously, the district, because they did not forward the money, and that would be another obligation that the district would be obligated to pay.
But none of that's related to the reserve payment that didn't get made.
That's in addition to the reserve payment, correct? Correct. That's in addition to the reserve.
That's people who prepaid their assessments.
The prepaid.
Right. Yes.
So we're still paying interest, but
and that's another very
we're not
good
receiving
point.
It from them because okay. they paid up. They're right. not paying us interest.
Right.
So since we didn't retire that bond, we're still getting charged, and right. there's a difference.
Now the second – go ahead if you had follow
no,
up.
No.
The second part of your question is the bond documents are being set up because of your settlement that was made on the 2002 bonds. With MBIA, the insurer, was that instead of funds when they are paid off or any funds from these assessments going to the district to then be forwarded to the trustee, now the county pays the trustee directly. So the money does not flow through the district. That will be the continuation. It would be very difficult, and I'll let Nikki answer that question if she has a different answer or make a comment, to sell the bonds if you didn't have that kind of procedure in place, given the history. Even though there's new people involved right. and nobody is intended to do anything, the fact that there is that history, you need to have protections in place so that nobody has to worry about that. Excellent question, by the way.
That kind of leads to the next question I have. I can hear it.
Well, no, but they have to have it on TV.
Yeah. Okay. So we were talking about the prepaids, and then we talked about how the old bonds, the 2002 bonds, had no prepayment penalty. Is that the same for
these?
That's
a different kind of prepay. One is the prepay of assessments. The other is the prepay of bonds.
Right, so, but if we wanted to pay off one of the bonds now, like prepay off the bond of the new issuance, are we still able to do that?
Yes, you will be, however, not right away. Mm-hmm. One of the processes of pricing the bonds is going to be setting an interest rate, setting a term, or we know our term is going to be the same, and also certain conditions that relate to the new bonds. One of them is going to be, what are the call provisions? When can the district call and under what conditions? I'm not sure. I'll let Nikki. I should not be talking about her area of expertise, so why don't you address that then?
As part of the market feedback that we'll get when we're talking about the credit and the bonds with investors, we'll look at negotiating prepayment provisions, and they're really bifurcated. So there will be a more generous prepayment provision if a property owner wants to pay off their lien. Currently, I believe there's no penalty for them to pay it off, and we expect to extend that no prepayment penalty for a special prepayment from a lien. If you wanted to do a refunding again, then the market will likely give you the best interest rate pricing if there's a lockout period, and typically it's 10 years. So no refunding for 10 years. Or it may be that you can look at refunding in 5 years, but there's a 2-3% penalty. And those features will kind of be fleshed out and we'll discuss as part of our pre-pricing conversations.
And that last statement, that will be my job to analyze along with your general manager and anybody else from the district that's going to be involved in the pricing, of taking a look at comparing what the call provisions are compared to the interest rate and come up with the best overall result for the district. But there will be some prepayment available depending on how that plays out.
I guess the way I'm thinking about it is in terms of the property owners
and being able to
communicate with people in Los Osos about, hey, here's the advantages of what we just did.
Sure.
You're going to get this amount of break on your taxes. If you want to pay off that assessment, you can still do that, hopefully without a penalty.
Right. Good question. Good.
Thanks.
That's right. Good answer. So.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, we'll go to public comment then on this item.
Julie Tacker, and I'm still having some heartburn over the reassessment report and how that was acquired. And then it didn't hit your website until yesterday, and there's not a copy here today for those who haven't had access to it. So again, that's a process problem. The one thing about this reassessment report with NBS is that contract is in this packet. I don't see contracts for these people who are putting forth effort, but somewhere there's something that must identify how much they're going to get paid should this all come to fruition with a commitment. I'd like to know how that breaks down for you all. The $9,000 thing that I just heard is interesting because we have the arrangement with the county. I'm only guessing because I don't know, if someone were to have paid off their assessment last year 10 years ago, 5 years ago, after the 2006-ish hiccup, and that money came in, it went to the county. Did they give it to us to then pay, and we didn't track that? Or did they not forward it to the bank? Do you follow me? That I do not know. That would be a county auditor question. And it also would probably be understood if we didn't have 16 general managers over 18 years. So, but that I think that kind of, that's going to bug me until we figure out that part of it. Otherwise, I appreciate everybody's work. And I think what you're trying to say, because we haven't heard a number for the general household, not an apartment, not a mobile home park, not a business, but just one single family home, it may realize about $25 a year savings. I think that's the number the public wants to hear.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other public comment? Any other public comments? No other public comment? We'll close public. We'll close public comment, and now you can.
Just wanted to respond to the last speaker. We showed the total. Again, these are estimates of the cost of issuance, some of which we know what they're going to be now. There wasn't time to actually put the chart on. We usually will do that at the end. But I can tell you where things are right now. Underwriter, and they charge on a basis of a per bond on a percentage, and based on the estimates that we have here, underwriter's fee for selling roughly 12 million in bonds, or 10 plus million in bonds, would be around $81,000. Our fee, the municipal advisor's fee, would be $45,000. Bond counsel would be $60,000. Disclosure counsel, $30,000. The a reassessment engineer, NBS, I believe is $30,000. The rating is estimated at this point. I believe it'll be around $20,000. We also have a thing called a verification agent who has to do an analysis that the numbers do match up for the proper refunding percentages that we're representing. That's $2,500. You have a trustee fee of $5,000, and then there was $15,000 put in for miscellaneous. In the event that money is not needed or any of these fees end up being lower, the excess then goes to the debt payment and is used to pay off debt service. So anyway, that's where we are at the moment.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm Mark Pressman with Wolf Hansen. I might add that all the fees, with the exception of NBS, are on a contingency basis, 100%. So if the bond issue doesn't happen, nobody gets paid except NBS. And the NBS circumstance, I hear you loud and clear that the board would typically approve an agreement that is not a contingency deal ahead of time, and we would recommend that you follow that procedure. However, in this circumstance, everything happened at the last minute, and there was a ton of work that NBS had to do at the last minute, and there was not time to call a special board meeting or any of that sort of stuff. This is all like happened over a weekend. And so, well, in any case, we had an urgency situation with NBS, and we were lucky to get the documents through them and processed by them over the holidays on the timeline that we did have. So typically we would recommend that the board would approve any agreement, any and all of these, even if they're contingent. But in this circumstance, there just was not time if we're going to do the March 2 call date.
Right. Okay, thank you. All right. Well, Yeah, we'll bring it back to the board then for discussion and a motion.
I love the story where we save $1.3 million. I'm so excited. I want to jump up and down.
Does that include a motion?
We all jump up and down.
Yeah, now I don't have it because I was trying to see if in the finance packet they had the breakdown of the fees because I've seen it.
Yeah. So.
Okay. I move that the board adopt resolution 2019-03 of intention to levy reassessments and to issue refunding bonds. Resolution 2019-4, accepting the reassessment report and ordering the reassessment to be levied per the report prepared by NBS Government Finance Group. And resolution 2019-5, approving the issuance of the bonds, the documents related to the issuance of the bonds, and officially designating the finance team.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? I would like to just thank the team that we put together, the ad hoc committee of Christine and myself, but I was just in shock because I was on vacation over Christmas, and we were getting 5 or 6 or 10 emails every single day. So,
poor
baby. But they did do an awesome job and met the time frame, and we will be able to, based on if we approve this now, meet that time frame for the March 2nd. Well, slides over to the 4th, but the March 4th date. So I think it's great. So, okay, any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call, please.
Director Womack?
Yes.
Vice President Cesania?
Yes.
Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Director Millage?
Yes.
President O'Hilsby?
Yes.
Thank you.
Again, I'd like to thank you guys for all your hard work. I really appreciate it.
We'd like to also thank you very much because the team you have on your side did a tremendous job. And I do remember the day when you said, there's no way you're going to be able to get this deal done by March 2nd. And an amazing job was done by everybody and with great support from you and Chris and Renee. And so we really appreciate that cooperation, too. So.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Hopefully you guys aren't all driving back tonight. Okay, so with that then, we'll move on to, I'm trying to get out of here. This is my first meeting, and I'm going to run the longest of any meeting. So, item 12E, which is the LAFCO request for voting delegate and approval of the alternative quorum procedure and nomination for special district member.
Before you staff report, this item requests the board consider designating a director as a voting delegate to attend the January 25th special district annual meeting and to vote on an alternative quorum procedure and enter a nomination for the LAFCO special district member position. As everybody is aware, hopefully Director Forcroy knows as well, currently Marshall, our President Ohilski is our member, and so he has agreed to continue that particular job. I'm not sure anybody else would want that job, but he wants it. So before you do have the motion, so I'm just going to take it to any of you that have any questions for Mr. Ohilski, or Director Ohilski, I should say, and a motion.
Yeah. Just for background information, the special districts, we have two members of LAFCO. Robert Enns from Cayucas and myself are the two members right now. My term's up as of last month, although I will be sitting at our meeting next week. I'm running again, assuming you guys nominate me. And then we have our annual meeting in Avila on the 25th, which I will be chairing because I'm the president of the CSDA chapter also. But we are trying to look for an alternate quorum procedure because we just want to make sure that we're able to do the election, because in the past we've had some issues with not having enough members there to be able to do the voting. So I would appreciate it if you just approve it as recommended. Public comment on this item? Seeing none? Okay, bring it back.
Oh, well, thank you for serving yet again. And if I had it in front of me, I'd do it.
I'm a little confused about approve the alternative quorum procedure.
Yeah.
You're asking us to approve LAFCO's alternative quorum procedure?
This is a little more complicated. What we're asking is that we have a selection committee, okay? And then what we're saying is that this provides for a reduced quorum number of 15, which is something that we can do at the annual meeting. So what we're doing is to say, yes, this district agrees with that quorum procedure. Because we've had situations in the past where we don't get enough districts there, and then we had a vacancy on LAFCO.
I just know the alternative procedure must be random, because I suggested paper, rock, scissors for hours, and that was suggested as a game of skill. So you've got to truly use just drawing something out of a hat, I think. Can I move that you be our representative to handle all that?
I second that you be our representative.
So you're making the staff recommended motion? Somebody?
I move that the board designate Marshall E. Ohilski as a voting delegate to attend the January 25th.
No, I already had public comment. I had public comment.
Oh, sorry.
No, I had public comment.
Yeah, no, I'm
okay, I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead, Chuck.
Okay, Marshall E. Ohilski as a voting delegate to attend the January 25th, 2019 special district annual meeting in Avila Beach, approve the alternative quorum procedure, and to direct staff to submit the completed ballot to LAFCO nominating Marshall E. Ohilski as the special district member.
I second.
Second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
All right. With that, then, we'll move on to the next item, which is 12F, the introduction and first reading of the ordinance regarding the abatement of hazardous vegetation. We brought this to the board last meeting, and we made some changes to it. There was also went to ESAC. They had some comments, and we made some changes before it came to the board last time. So all those edits are included in here, and this would be the first reading just to adopt this. I don't know if you have anything to add to that. The only reason I'm, because since I wrote it, I... So if you don't have any questions, then do we have public comment on this item? Okay, bring it back for a motion then.
All right. I move that the board conduct the first reading by title only of Ordinance 2019-01, set date of final adoption for February 7th, 2018, and direct staff to publish appropriate hearing notice.
I second.
We have second motion, or motion and a second. All
Matthew.
This is an ordinance, so we'll take a roll call on this.
No, it's just the first reading.
Oh, that's correct. But let's take a roll just anyhow.
Okay. And did you want to actually read the... Do we have to read the title? No, we don't. Okay. Director Millage.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Womack?
Yes.
Vice President Cesania?
Yes.
And President Ohilski?
Yes. Okay, that moves us on to item 12G, which is a review and potential approval for a board resolution exempting the 8th Street well site building project from the County of San Luis Obispo building codes.
Yes, Mr. President, board members, that'll be my report. I'm not going to reread to you the written report. I want to emphasize that we're not trying to exempt the building from all codes, just the county codes. The county-specific code would require sprinklers, which is basically a fire safety requirement. It's above and beyond the state-imposed uniform fire code. And so we're just recommending to you that you exercise the power you have as an independent public agency to exempt yourself from the extra code imposed by the county, because we don't think it's appropriate, and we think under the circumstances it renders the project not feasible, and we think it's important that we do it at this location and in this manner. And so with that, I'm ready to answer any questions you have.
I have a comment, a couple of comments.
Well, let's wait for questions first of all. I have a question. Nobody else has a question? Maybe this is just, I'm not sure I understand. So the motion says, I move the board adopt draft resolution next in order. What does that mean? What do you?
That means I didn't know what number to give it, because you had lots of other resolutions on the agenda, and I don't know which ones you're going to adopt and which ones not. And I have a personal problem giving every resolution a number, and because then your records show you have resolution 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 11.
Okay, I got that. But there's no resolution attached to...
No, we circulated it later and posted it, I believe.
Yeah, it's on the table?
I'm talking about on the website.
It's not on the website?
Correct. Unless I'm missing something.
I received it late. I'm sorry.
That was a question, so.
Yeah.
Is it back over there?
I'm just asking that because it's not on here. It's not.
Frankly, if we didn't get it posted to the web page, I would recommend that we schedule a special meeting as soon as possible for this action. I don't want Mr. Acosta to have a heart attack, but I also want it to be a defensible action.
It's here.
Well, I'm just saying it's not on the website.
It has a number, though.
But it does have a number. I did give it a number.
Neither was the report until yesterday.
Okay, Jill.
So we have copies here?
Yes, okay. Copies with the board.
If we've had copies here and copies to the board and copies are available here, the current interpretation of the web page argument is it's not a failure. So let's go ahead.
I haven't had a chance to read it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll go to public comment then. Any public comment on this item? Okay, now you can have your discussion.
Okay, so we have a difference in codes between the county and the state. The San Luis Obispo County adopted more stringent fire codes, and specifically in their building ordinance and their fire code. So they require fire sprinklers on buildings greater than 1,000 square feet. I am all in favor of getting this project done as quickly as possible. The good news is that the California Building Code and the California Fire Code are much more lenient, and we can easily comply with that. No sprinklers would be required at that point. So what I would suggest that we do from an engineering standpoint is document that. Have our engineer give us a memo that says that we're complying with the California Building Code, section, I think it's going to be 903. And I think it's something that we might mention in this resolution is, yeah, we're not going to follow the county code, but we're still compliant with the CBC.
Like I said, when I talked to you earlier, I guess I was under the impression that we were looking at a different set of exemptions completely. I didn't catch county code. Is this any way related to the fact that we're increasing the size of the building? Is it just that any building this, because all we're doing is replacing an outdated, antiquated facility. It's not a new facility. On the other hand, I know when I remodeled my house, because I added a certain percentage to the footprint, I had to go back and retrofit even the old part. So I'm all in favor of doing just what you said.
I can speak to that, Chuck.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, the county adopted in, it looks like 2012, their ordinance is any new commercial structure over 1,000 square feet.
I'm just wondering if this is a new facility or if it's a replacement that's close enough to an existing footprint. And besides that, we are the state. We're not the county. So I like your approach.
I mean, I just want us to be able, if we can hang our hat on, mm-hmm. on a code, I would like to do that. Mm-hmm.
So now that I've read it, I understand it, but I hadn't seen it till just now. So what you're saying, Matthew, is maybe we could put a whereas in here that says, whereas the district will propose to comply with the California Building Code section, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and I'd like our district engineer to send us a memo specifically outlining what use and occupancy classification this structure is, because that's how you determine fire sprinklers, and then what, if any, fire sprinklers are required per California code, which when I talked to Rob, it was none.
So I would recommend, after hearing that discussion, that we do include the extra whereas, but that we not have the requirement for the memo in the resolution itself. Just have that be direction from the board to staff to get that accomplished.
Is that okay with you, Matthew?
Yeah, I think that puts us in the strongest position.
Okay. So if we could then go ahead and have this adopt this resolution exempting the previously approved 8th Street building project from the County of San Luis Obispo building codes, with the edit that an additional whereas would be added confirming that the project does comply with California building codes, and then citing the reference.
Do we have a second?
I second that.
I wasn't making a motion. I was just asking if that's what he...
If that's the motion, I think that's great.
Is that what you were... I was just asking if that's
yes,
what you...
Yes, yes, that sounded like a great motion.
Okay. All right, I'll make the motion, then he can second it.
So, who made the motion?
I did. I was asking a question, but I made the motion.
I'll second it if no one else has.
And Mr. Corker, you seconded?
Yes. I did.
It sounded motiony.
All right, all in favor? Do we need a...
Yes, it's a resolution.
Oh, yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Forkright?
Yes.
Director Millage?
Yes.
Director Womack?
Yes.
And Vice President Cesena?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that takes us up to item 12H. Which is the review of the letter concerning the county sale of reclaimed water to dry land farmers. So.
Sure, you want me to take that discussion? Way back in June, I think it was, we wrote a letter to the county asking, and then all this came about really through a report the Basin Management Committee started with Rob Miller, suggesting that perhaps the county would want to weigh in on the current status of that effort. Mark Hutchinson wrote a letter responding, and we responded to that. That was 6 months ago, and we haven't heard a word. And I just don't think that we should be growing accustomed to the fact that we get ignored that way, particularly when we have an avenue, the Basin Management Committee, where this has already been brought up. So I'm just looking for the next step. How do we raise the issue again? I think my preference would be just to have the letter read at the Basin Management Committee meeting. It seems to me that's where this should be addressed, not even necessarily at the Board of Supervisors. I mean, I actually took the liberty of going last month as a private citizen and handing them the letter again just to make sure that they remembered that they had seen it at some point. I think it was obvious they'd forgotten. I just don't like being ignored. I think this is an important issue. Our water should not be going outside the basement to dryland farmers. And it's a simple enough thing to ask for an update. So there may be other ways, but it seems like a simple way would be to bring that letter up at the Basin Management Committee. I'm open to suggestions for other ways, though. I mean, another letter to the county seems kind of pointless. A phone call might prompt a response. I'm puzzled as to why, you know, we had to follow up. I don't know.
Have you asked Gibson directly? And could you show up at LOCAC when he usually attends and bring it up? Because I remember your letter, and it was a well-done letter.
We could there. It seems like the Basin Management Committee would be just a natural place to do that. You've got all the water purveyors there. Everyone was interested. That's where the issue first got brought up. But I'm willing to...
Are we asking for some permission from the Board of Supervisors, though, or some...
We're asking for a status update. I mean, they had 4 proposed contracts. I keep hearing rumors that they're down to 1 and that they want to activate to a limited extent that contract just so that they can say that they have. But I don't know that.
Can we get on the Board of Supervisors agenda as the CSD?
We could. It sure seems simpler just to...
Well, yeah, I agree with what you're...
It just seems simpler to ask Bruce at the Basin Management Committee meeting. Right. That'll be next week.
Yep.
Oh, quickest Bruce way, is there, then, yeah, ask him there.
He's on the committee. I suggest that we have our representative to that committee bring this up at that meeting.
That's fine. I mean, whatever we want to do is fine because it has, I mean, the original letter was in June, so...
Yeah, and it, again, it started with, badminton between Rob Miller and Mark Hutchinson. And then we just kind of joined in.
Well, and Mark's retired now, so.
Yes. The county representative at the time. So is that kind of what we think we should do? Just take it to Basin Management?
I think that's fine. Bring it up.
I got it. We got to do public comment. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Public comment on this item, please.
Julie Tacker, and I've heard those rumors too, that 1 contract is in play. I think Ron Munns is kind of watching over this part of the project as a county employee. So he may be the best person to invite to come and give you a status update, give all of us an update.
Well, he's on utility advisory, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Which is a whole other thing that's weird.
Well, but, that means...
I'm sorry. Let
Public comment. So and my understanding is that it is the Goodwin contract, that it is only 5 acre feet a year. Shouldn't be 1 drop. And that the interest in Goodwin is that the RCD, what's that stand for?
Resource Conservation District.
Resource Conservation District funded their hookup. So here we have... look at your face. Yeah. So that's why there's any interest in in seeing these contracts come to any fruition is because public funds have been expended in the experiment that should never have happened. Millions of dollars of transmission lines run to several farms, and but the valves and whatever metering has been put at that property, and that's why they're okay with it, while you and I are not. It is not okay because it does nothing for seawater intrusion. So get the truth, status update, but don't back away from your position that it's only 5 acre feet. And it's only millions of dollars that shouldn't have been spent. We've seen money, good money thrown after bad money many times in this district, in this community. That's very unfortunate. But the water is what matters. And I hope you hold strong and firm on that. And bring it up at every opportunity you have, not just Basin Management Committee. Keep bringing it up. And that helps with the conservation effort. People understand.
Thanks, Julie.
The more you talk about it.
All right. Lindy, any other speakers other than Lindy? Okay. Close public comment after Lindy.
Lindy Owen, I will be at the Board of Supervisors next Tuesday at public comment, so I would be glad to use part of my 3 minutes to remind them and present the letter physically. If you shoot me a copy, you have a copy there?
I got six.
Perfect. And I will be at resource at the water basin management too, so I will back any discussion about this. It is ridiculous that it's been tasked to us to pay for a total waste of money allowing dry land farmers to now grow crops with free water, basically.
Okay, closed public comment. So what do you... I mean, I think everything that you can do is what we can do, so. We can bring the letter up again at Basin Management Committee next week, so. And Lindy wants to take it to the board, that's fine, so. Is that good with you then, Chuck? I'll bring it up at Basin Management Committee.
Yes. Now, do we have a way for that to happen? Do you want me?
No, you'd probably have to do it because the agenda's already posted. So.
Okay. I will do it as part of my just general public comment. Okay.
Well, you can say you're speaking for the district, though, not as an individual.
Okay.
Okay. Brings us to the last item on our agenda, which is the item that was pulled, 11H, I believe.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Members of the board, that'll be my hopefully very brief report. The reason I wanted to pull it is within the last few days, our landlord, Mr. Contento, has indicated to your staff that in addition to the other terms that we added in the addendum, he would like to offer to extend the lease from the year 2021 to the year 2023. It would not involve an increase of what the rent is going to be starting in November of this year, but it would be $100 a month higher than it is now. It would just extend the term of the lease 2 years. That wasn't in our authority as we went about negotiating with him, so I had to bring it up.
Is there any downside to this?
No. You're not moving. You're not going anywhere. It's just not our authority, so we don't do it.
And it secures the rent for another couple of years past what we currently have.
So the addendum would be changed to reflect
just to
that.
Add that, yes.
Okay. Any public comment on this item? Oh, Lindy.
Could you just explain to the public what we're doing? Because it's a little confusing to me. I had a question today from somebody in the community saying there's a for rent sign and it's advertised as the address of our CSD. So it's obviously gone forward with steps that nobody had any idea about. But I didn't basically understand quite. We're getting more space and a full kitchen And that means we don't have to spend the money we were going to spend remodeling this kitchen. And but you're moving all your electrical, and is that price that you quoted, $6,000-something, was that the cost of a full physical move? And so if a little more explanation would make me more comfortable. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Close public comment. You want it?
Sure. As far as him already advertising that building over there, we didn't know that he had always already advertising that. He had already started advertising that area over there, so that he switched the address. I have no idea about that. As far as the square footage, it's technically a little bit smaller, but it has more amenities to it. There's already a kitchen there and a separate lunch room. And again, new carpet, all those kinds of things, painted, new lighting fixtures, new ceiling tiles, and all that kind of stuff. And let me see your other question. Oh, as far as the money goes, correct. So the money, instead of being used to build the kitchen over there, we were going to use it to do the wiring. Channel 20, we got to move that with us, and that's a fiber optic cable. Oh, see, I said it right that time. And that's very expensive, and you have to have only certain people can do that. And so this particular company is doing it, can do it the cheapest and the fastest, and they'll also have to do all the rewiring for the phone systems and such. So we're going to still need the money, but we'll be using it for something different, something that will last a little longer, a little newer. So that's what that's about. And yes, and what's not budgeted right now, but what we will budget in later, is a door that will go about right there. And Channel 20 will have their own little, there's a little tiny room that's really not usable for much. So we're going to put Channel 20 in there. And also they will be able to do what they have to do for us in our board meetings in that room, so that we won't have any noise that they create while they're trying to do their job. I mean, they're trying to do their job, but there is noise. And so they'll be in that room as well.
Okay, thank you. So can we have a motion then, please? I know that.
I move that we agree to the terms of extending the lease by 2 years and paying $100 more for rent. Is that the...
The addendum as amended.
The addendum as amended. We're actually... Okay. The rent's going up by the term of the lease anyway, so we're not actually adding an expense that isn't already going to incur. Right. We were just asking... He just asked if we wanted to extend the lease and leave the rent the way it would have been anyway. Okay. If that makes sense.
All right, and then what's the lease going to be in moving to?
2023.
Okay. So I move that we accept the addendum as recommended?
As amended. Whatever.
Well, recommended. I recommended that we add it tonight, so we're good.
We have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, no pulled item. Oh, that was a pulled item. Any future agenda items other than we are going to have the election discussion and the
board director compensation.
So any closing board comments?
Hang on about future agenda.
Yeah.
I'd like to see an update on what transpires on the bond.
Oh, well, that will be every month.
Sure. That will be on there? Okay, great.
Yeah, that will be part of FAC, and that will come to us.
Good.
Okay, so any other closing board comments? I have just one. The ceremonies from the Chamber of Commerce a week from Friday at South Bay Community Center.
To know if board members will be attending.
Okay, so that's it. And so I hope to see everybody from our community that can come next Friday, a week from Friday. And then we'll go ahead and adjourn. Thank you. No, that will be bringing that.